Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. I have a very pleasant morning planned with a couple or three ladies here from the book club. I'm only going to call them a couple of ladies until I get the other one to talk. She's just not, she's being feisty over there. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the, she moved it away. Please welcome Myrna Youngblood. How you doing, Myrna?
I'm good. How are you, Bruce?
Oh, I'm just outstanding. Myrna Youngblood is the Frontier Community College librarian, and she's also joined this morning by Karen Bryant. How are you, Karen?
I'm doing just fine.
I'm glad to hear it. And also joining us this morning is Charlene Carter. How you doing, Charlene?
Great.
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we'll quiz you later on if you can figure out which one's being mean to me. Oh, I'm only teasing Charlene. It'll be fun.
Go ahead and tell my name. That's okay.
You're having fun. We're all having a good time. Myrna.
Everybody knows me knows I'm mean, so it's okay.
Well, that's good. See, now that's a good thing. Does everybody that know you know you're coming out today?
No.
Well, you see, now that's too bad. You should have told folks you were coming out. You'd had a good time. I do want to thank you, though. I do want to thank you especially, though, since you brought the food out this morning. Thank you so much for bringing the food from the How often do you cook down there at the Rurton Club? What's the story?
Every month. Second Tuesday.
Monday.
This is Monday.
Second Monday of every month. What's breakfast?
Scrambled eggs, biscuits and gravy, hash browns, dessert, coffee.
Is that available to anybody, or do you have to be a Rurton, or what's the story? And this is down in Mill Shoals, right?
In Mill Shoals. No, anybody can come. Just bring your money. It's a donation.
Yeah.
And we have grandchildren come and stuff like that.
What folks usually give, $10,000, $20,000, $500,000, something like that?
Something like that.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful. I'll make sure that I send you back with a donation. Good morning, Myrna.
Hi there.
How you doing? It's good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you. It's been a little while.
I haven't had you on the show for probably about 6-8 months, right?
That's right, yeah.
We did the book tour last summer.
Right.
That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
We need to do that, need to get that thing set up again.
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on out at Frontier Community College. It seems like the learning, you're the librarian, but that really doesn't tell all what you do, is it? Does it?
No, not near enough, huh?
What are you doing out there?
Well, we help students with research. We help them find things online. We help them evaluate.
You're in charge of the resource center?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Whether it's quality information that will help them. Try to teach them to get away from a Google search just because we have some more accurate databases that, you know, have reliable information. That sort of thing.
Have kids fallen into the habit of basically depending on Google/Wikipedia and
very much so, yes.
As opposed to doing research?
Right. And the bad part of it is they've spent the last 4 years, in most cases, I don't want to say everyone, but the last 4 years without having access to these types of resources. So that's become their habit, and it's hard to break old habits.
Tell me the importance of actually going in and finding the books, because I guess the research when you the point I'm getting to, books aren't all on the internet yet, are they?
Not all of them. Mm-mm, no. And anything that's put, of course, you know that anything that's put online can be changed.
Right.
And once it's put on there, how do you know if the person that put it on was reliable? Where if it's a book source, and I don't want to sound old-fashioned, but a book source has been through the editing process.
Right.
Many of the online things have not.
Well, it's been, if you have a book that's been printed over 40, 50 years ago, or research changes, but literature doesn't change.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For that matter, over that period of time. If you have something that's printed, people would have had a chance to sue over or to vet it, right?
Exactly, yes. Uh-huh. And, you know, you want to make sure that it's reliable, that it's accurate, and it is current as far as the information goes. You know, with sciences, things change, and every 5 years you need to make sure you have information within that time period.
How difficult is it to get a kid who has I guess my question is, if they're doing term papers, they probably aren't using reference materials from libraries anymore, are they?
Not much. Although we are connected with Carly, which is out of Champaign, and so we're connected with 80-some academic libraries within Illinois. So we have resources available. Our students can get resources from U of I, from Carbondale, from Eastern, any of the major academic colleges across the United States, or across Illinois.
Does one have to be a student to become a, to be able to borrow from Frontier Community College Library? How does that work?
Because of the way Carly is set up, which is the consortium.
What is Carly?
It's the consortium of academic and research libraries in Illinois. And anybody within the IECC district can get a library card and borrow from us and IECC. But Carly has a stipulation that you have to be a student taking a class in order to borrow from any of those other.
Their materials.
Right.
Yeah. Their materials.
But we have a pretty wide range within the four colleges of items that could be used.
Anybody in Wayne County can come in and get the Frontier Library card.
Anybody in the IECC district.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So does that include, I guess that includes Edwards County, even though there's not a school there, right?
Right.
And Karen might be able to answer the question better. What kind of distance does somebody from Fairfield do they need to be in district, Karen? Do you know, or is it just Wayne County, or is Hamilton County?
Hamilton County. It'd be Wayne, Edwards, Clay.
Because they don't have college either.
Right.
Richland would.
Richland, Crawford, which is up around Robinson. Mm-hmm. Wabash, which is Mount Carmel area.
So it doesn't attach to Lawrence County then?
In Lawrence County.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about, where does White County go? What district would they be in? Down in like the southwestern
But
college?
I think there's part of White County that is in IECC.
I see.
Like Mill Shoals is White County, but they would still be able to come to Frontier or
Thank
IECC.
Heavens. Thank heavens Mill Shoals in. We got Charlene in.
That's right.
All right. So, folks, if somebody gets a library card, they come in, they can see, just... You can take just about anything out, but not one of the Carly items.
That's correct.
All right. What else going on at the library right now? At the
right
Learning
now,
Resource Center?
We are offering a 4-week book club class where you get a half a credit.
Really?
And it's a 4-week class, yes.
So do I, all right, say I'm a Joe student, right? I'm used to, are you able to download on my Kindles?
That's what we've been doing, yes.
Oh,
the
really?
Library has some Kindles, and we've been downloading the books on there because that's the preference of the members that we have at this point, yes.
Can you download onto my device, whatever, or how's that work?
Actually, we've been downloading them to our devices and loaning that device out.
Okay.
Yes, the public libraries have access to OneDrive, I believe it's called, where you can download it to your own. And if you're connected with a public library, you can do that onto your own account. This service was not offered to academic libraries, so I don't have that available through our library.
What's the... is this the first one right now, the first 4-week segment, or how many have you had?
Actually, this is the second one, and a couple of years we had a book club that was not for credit, so that's a plus here that you actually get credit hours for this. This is really our third go around.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How many... I can see where that'd be a big plus if it's going to have a credit hour involved. How many students have you had involved?
We had a total of 5 students this past 4 weeks. Now, prior to that, it was faculty and staff, and there were probably, was there 10 maybe? It's been a while back.
It was a little bigger than what we've had. But
yeah.
Huh. I'm just trying to think, when does the next one start?
It actually starts this week.
Oh, really?
Yes. We'll be handing out the books this week, and but because of the way this class operates, you know, we're not going to turn anybody down.
How many books do you cover?
In those 4 weeks, we cover 3 books.
Oh, okay. I'm talking with Myrna Youngblood along with Charlene Carter and Karen Bryant, and we'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show. We're going to get into what books they have covered, what books they plan to cover, as well as all kinds of other things. When we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words. We'll be right back. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. I appreciate you joining in this morning as I'm talking with some ladies from the Frontier Community College Bobcat Book Club. Is that what we're going to call it? What do you say? Does that sound right, Myrna?
That sounds good. We actually are calling it the Brown Bag Book Club because we're inviting people to come and eat with us. But we could add bobcats onto the end of that as well.
Brown Bag Bobcat Book Club.
There you go.
It's Myrna Youngblood along with Charlene Carter and Karen Bryant. And we've been talking about the setup of the book club. And this is open to anybody, isn't it, Myrna?
It is. Yes, it is open to anybody. As we were talking through the break, it's for a senior adult. It is only you only have to pay the fees, which is $7.50.
Well, that's wonderful.
Right. Anybody else, it's $49 for the credit hour.
Basically, you're paying for the hour, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. And we are trying to choose books that are not the most right off of the best-selling list in order that we can order them and not so that the members don't have to pay additional fees for the books. We're borrowing those from other libraries.
Oh, I see. So that the hopefully the cost is minimal when it comes to like loading your Kindle or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Exactly. Yes. Uh-huh. If we either try to borrow it and load it onto our Kindle or else we will borrow the physical book from another library.
Well, do you remember any of the books from the one last summer or two summers ago? Not the one that you and I had here, and Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of them from the two?
When we had the faculty staff
one? Yeah, the faculty staff one.
Well, Karen has a good one that she remembers. I'll let her talk about it.
I don't think she does.
Well, one of the books that I really liked when we had the book club a while back was called Half Broke Horses.
Oh, really? Okay, she does have one.
By Jeanette Walls, and it was an author that none of us had read before. So that's one nice thing about the book club is that it opens you up to new authors, things that you don't typically read.
How do you come up with books, Karen or Myrna? I mean, is it at suggestions of folks? Where did you come up with Half Broke Horses?
We originally started where I just read reviews and picked out some. Mm-hmm. And then once we get going, which is what we've done this time, is I picked out the first three books for the first 4 weeks. But after that, then I let everybody else give input. And then we take a vote on what's, the three top ones.
I'm kind of interested. What was Half Broke Horses about? Well, and why did, was it half broke or half broken?
Half broke. You,
mm-hmm. I think it was half broke.
Why would
half
they have a grammatical horses. Error in the first part of the...
Oh, if you knew the character in the story. But this book was actually a true life novel.
Uh-huh.
And it was, the author was writing a story about her grandmother and her mom.
Oh, really?
And it was just crazy. And her mom was just kind of crazy. And it was kind of funny. And so I really enjoyed that book. So I went on to read the next book that followed that was called The Glass Castle. And that
about
story.
By the same author, I presume?
Yes. And it was a story of her and her siblings growing up with this crazy mom and dad.
Oh, really?
And that one was, if I would have read that first, I don't know if I could have finished the book because it really was kind of a sad, kind of a sadder story, yes, because the parents, the mom and dad, were so crazy and they couldn't hold jobs and they traveled all over and never stayed in one location, but their life in the end turned out really nice and they were successful, the kids.
Karen, do you like a book like that, a memoir style, or what is your favorite when it comes to?
I do like the memoirs, and I like the autobiographies, and I also like kind of like the chick flicks. I like the little bit of the romance books, mm-hmm. But the
Bridges
one,
of Madison County, something like that. Did you like that one?
I didn't read that book.
Oh, okay.
But I watched the movie.
That counts.
But this last book that we read, The Good News from Bullpen Cafe, that was also a new book that we had never heard of this author. And I loved that book. And it was kind of a small town setting with really fun characters. And I love books that make you laugh. And it made you smile and also made you cry a little bit.
Oh, really?
All of that.
Made you think, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You had like emotional swings.
Mm-hmm. But it really kind of had the setting of maybe Wayne City or Fairfield, just a small town setting with a cafe there that everybody knew each other. And
Charlene, mm-hmm. What was your favorite? Did you have a favorite from the last set of Move it over there, by golly. Let her talk so she doesn't have to lead. Don't hurt yourself, Charlene. I don't want you hurt yourself.
Well, really, I like the Bullpen Cafe the best, probably. It's a really good story, and I could identify with the person in the story.
What was the plot?
Well, this Charlie was going to be a lawyer and go to law school, but before that happened, his uncle died and left him a cafe, and so he was going to go down and fix it up and sell it, make a profit, and
sure.
go back to being a
sure.
lawyer.
Yeah.
Well, when he got down there, he loved the town. The people treated him decent, you know, and they loved him. And it ended up he stayed there and ran the cafe, and he had a lot of problems in between, you know, and he had a love life that didn't work out. So just all kinds of things happened to him like it does to all of us.
Sure.
But he got through everything, and the townspeople helped him through a lot of his problems. And I just thought it was really interesting. And then he married a Mary from New York, which he'd met on the internet, I believe, or something like that. And he was always, the part I liked best was he always had a computer. And when problems come and he wanted to think or do something, he'd go up this mountain. He'd say, Houston, we have a problem. That was all through the book. You know, when that was his way of solving his problem, talking to Houston, which was, of course, not real.
I was going to say, was Houston his dog? Or
no, it was Houston.
He was talking to Houston.
We have a problem, you know. He was,
I got you, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty interesting. Anyway, it was down to earth, and it was almost believable because
could
happen to any of us.
Yeah. We mentioned that Karen likes to read the memoirs. Would another book by this guy get your vote for maybe the next slew of books that you guys are going to read in the club?
It'd get mine.
It'd get yours.
Yes.
What are your favorite books to read? What's your favorite book of all time? I'm going to ask you personal questions, Charlene.
Well. I may not answer that, or any of the others.
Depends how personal I get, huh?
That's right.
What's your favorite book?
I don't know. I don't read a lot,
Kill
as much
Mockingbird.
As most people do, and I can't remember authors and names
sure.
and things like that. So that's why I joined the book club, so I might start reading again. I used to, but it's been a while, so I'm kind of getting back into this thing of reading.
Is it a lot of fun to get back into?
Yeah, I have more time now than I used to have. I used to work, and you know, I'm retired now,
yeah.
so... I can't use that for an excuse. I got lots of time to read. And I do enjoy reading.
Yeah. You've been out of reading for a little while. Let me ask you a question, and I'll tell my preference here eventually as well. Do you prefer having the book in your hand, or do you prefer the Kindle experience, the electronic book?
Well, that's a hard question, because I've always had the books.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what a Kindle was, so they all told me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the older set.
Sure.
But anyway, I
like
that.
Hold on. You're not a much older set.
Well, I couldn't even turn the thing on.
That's okay.
And then I didn't know how to turn the pages. They had to show me everything.
Well, You're not dumb. You've done it before.
Never seen one before
there
in my life.
Go.
Until
there you go.
They showed me. So the first time I took the book and the Kindle, because I didn't trust the Kindle. So
yeah.
I read the book, and then if I had a problem with the Kindle, I couldn't turn the page or it got away from me, couldn't figure out how to get back to it, I'd go back to my book and read. And the second time I got brave and just took the Kindle, didn't have to have the book. I figured out how to turn it off and on, you know, and stuff.
Did you get through it?
Yes, I did. And it's a lot lighter to hold than a book.
Uh-huh.
And the pages don't fly around, you know, in the air and stuff. And when you're holding them, you're trying to hold a book, it's kind of hard to see the edges sometimes.
Yeah.
And so with this Kindle, it's all right there. You just, it's pretty neat.
You know, one of the problems that I had with that I had with Kindle, and I think they've fixed it now, Myrna, you might have the batches that you're using may have the more current Kindles as well. I always wanted to read with the light off.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't do it with the original Kindles for the first 5 or 10 years that people had e-readers, I guess, for want of a different term. We call them Kindles, but I mean, they could be, well, whatever the Barnes and Noble,
Nooks,
the Nook. Do they have that now? And can you read with the lights off, or do yours
not
have
on
that?
The ones that the library has? But yes, I do believe they've got
one with
the backlight.
I wonder if that's part of the if part of the reason for that is maybe folks getting headaches or something like that. Do you ever wonder about that?
It could be, and then. I think the good thing about the type that we have is that you can sit out in the sun and there's no glare to it. So
it
actually is like a book in that form or fashion. That was the point of at least the ones we have, yes.
Okay. What are the What were some of the books that you read on this last the last run through?
Okay, well, they've mentioned the Good News from the Bullpen Cafe, and then we read and.
What was the good news?
I don't know.
Good news from the Bullpen Cafe. What was the news?
He actually blogged, and there was no signal in the town, which is so similar to a lot of these areas. So he had to go up on the mountain, and he did his blog.
Okay.
So every night or. He would go up.
So nobody in the town knew what he was blogging, though, because they didn't have a signal?
Exactly, and they didn't know he was blogging about them.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, see, now it's beginning to make more sense of a plot.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then when they found out, they stoned him and ran him out of town. Is that what happened?
Well, there's good news.
So we can't
tell the end of the story.
No, don't tell the end.
But I would like to tell you that we contacted him because Bullpen... The way he wrote, and when you Googled, there was some information about Bullpen. So I was curious if there was a Bullpen Minnesota.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
I found his contact information and emailed him, and he emailed me back. And while I was reading the email, he called me on the phone.
No kidding.
Of the book, yes.
Wow.
And he is not an author by trait. So he was so excited that somebody would take the time to call him, and here I'm just as excited that an author would take the time to call me.
Had that happened to you before? Very often?
No, I've never. I don't know that I've ever tried to contact an author.
Oh, really?
Yes. Uh-huh. And so it was very, I mean, we spent almost 30, 45 minutes on the phone just talking to each other. He was very down-to-earth kind of guy, and he sent us a sweatshirt with a copy of the front of the book.
Well, how about that?
Yes.
So is there a Bullpen, Minnesota?
No, there is not. So he cleared that up for us.
Is that based on just a variety of different towns that the fellow had grown up in lived in?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was close to Rochester. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All he knows is it gets cold and snows a lot.
Exactly. Lots of snow.
What were some of the other books you did last
trip? Right behind that,
trip?
We read a nonfiction book called Last Light. It was a cyber attack. No, Lights Out, excuse me.
Lights Out,
Cyber Attack by Ted Koppel.
Now, okay, I saw whenever this book came out, I saw when Koppel made the rounds. You know, authors make the rounds, right?
Right.
When Koppel was making the rounds, he was basically serious. This is a serious problem that he sees coming, right?
Have you read the book?
I have not.
Okay. It is very serious. And even in his talk, although this was not our most favorite book with the club members, but it was very informative. And everywhere he would go, the conversation was, yes, we know we need to do something. But as you know, the red tape in government, nothing was being done.
I'm trying to remember, was it about the utility companies and the grids?
Yes, the electrical grids.
The electrical grids not being able to...
Right, and a terrorist attacking them and just wiping out a whole... They didn't think it would be across the United States, but it would be a major portion.
Did you make an effort to contact Mr. Koppel, too?
No, I did not.
I didn't know if you did or not. I mean, maybe he can send you an ABC News sweatshirt or something like that.
There you go. Hey, I'll have to go back and do that.
That sounds like fun. What was the other book y'all did?
Okay, that one was called Lights Out.
Okay.
Last Light. I'll get them straight. All these lights, yes.
So you had Lights Out, you had the nonfiction.
Uh-huh.
And then you had the fiction.
Last Light.
Which mm-hmm. is that a similar, is that a similar plot?
Right. It was a fictitious book, but it was, yes, it was the everyday occurrence of a family who had to actually go through this, and it was across the United States.
What'd you think of that one, Karen? Let's move the microphone. Let's get Karen to give me a...
Well, it did really make you think what we would do if that did happen, because you really had nothing hardly to survive with, and how they cooked, you know, if you had a charcoal grill and they were trying to find wood to be able to cook on their grill. And
how long was the power out, or did it ever come back on, or is it like
in this book it never
like
did
a
come
dystopian
back on.
Society type of thing, you know, with the postman or something, the Kevin Costner movie? I mean, we're talking Kevin Costner movie bad. That's rough.
Yes.
It was.
Is that what I got to ask? Is that what Ted Koppel is saying is going to happen? They won't be able to get the grids back on or something? Or what's he saying?
Right, because most of those are manufactured overseas, and because there's not a need for them, much of our equipment is very outdated, but nobody's making them because
because they don't replace it.
Right.
Because it's working.
Exactly. Yes. And the millions of dollars that it would cost to replace them, you know, were there a need.
How'd you like the book, Karen? The fiction book.
The fiction book was good. It was interesting. Really made you think about what you would do. And in one part of the book, they talked about how Walmart was going to open and how everybody in town was there trying to make a dive for and fighting over things that we wouldn't typically buy on a daily basis, but survival things when it came down to it.
How were they opening? They had gasoline and generators, I guess?
Well, I don't believe there were lights in there. They did not have their, you know, cash registers.
I was going to say, did it become a cash society, cash-based paper society?
Mm-hmm. Cash or check only, wasn't
And then one of the men traded his watch.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. For some things.
Happy ending?
Well, it's a series. We only read the first book. I think it's three books to the series.
Okay. That's kind of frustrating. At what point in the at what point in the reading of the book did you realize it was a series and you weren't going to get to the end of the story? Or did you know before?
Yes, we knew that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Does that change your idea of before you start reading the book?
Well, I don't want to spend the whole book time doing a series. Yeah.
You're not going to, in the next following, the upcoming one, you're not covering book two or three.
No. But this, I mean, like Karen mentioned before, it kind of opens the door to if you want to continue reading it. And we did have one lady who actually has went through all four of the books. So
did she tell you it had a happy ending or what happens?
Well, she didn't want to ruin it for us. So.
Wow, all right, that's too bad. You kind of say, give me a spoiler alert, but tell me what happened.
Well, right off the bat, as you would expect, there was a murder in the town. You know, one family had prepared and was ready, and then, of course, they end up dying.
Oh, it's because they were ready to go. That is a happy, real happy story there, Myrna.
I want everybody uplifted.
There you go. You're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM. We'll be back with more here with the ladies of the book club at Frontier, the Bobcat Box Lunch Book Club, when we return here after these.
It was Della and a dealer and a dog named Jake and a cat named Kalamazoo. Left the city in a pickup truck, gonna make some dreams come true. Yeah, they rolled out west with a wild sunsets in the coyote base of the moon. Della and the dealer and a dog named Jake and a cat named Kalamazoo. That cat could talk, what tales he tell about Della and the dealer and the dog as well. But the cat was cool and he never said a mumbling word. Tucson Way, there's a small cafe where they play a little cowboy tune. And the guitar picker was a friend of mine by the name of Randy Boone. Yeah, Randy played her a sweet love song and Della got a fire in her eyes. The dealer had a knife and the dog had a gun and the cat had a shot of rye. That cat could talk, what tales he tell about Della. Said a mumbling word. Yeah, the dealer was a killer. He was evil and mean, and he was jealous of the fire in her eyes. He snorted his coke through a century note, and he swore that Boone would die. And the stage was set when the lights went out. There was death in Tucson town. Two shadows ran for the far back door, and one stayed on the ground. Talk what tales he tell about Della and the dealer and the dog as well. But the cat was cool and he never said a mumbling word. That cat could talk what tales he tell about Della and the dealer and the dog as well. But the cat was cool and he never said a mumbling word.
Was that right? Oh, is that right? I don't know. You don't remember anybody telling you that. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. I'm just sitting here scaring the ladies about how I run my show. They're very frightened now. You're not very frightened, are you, at all, Myrna?
No, you do a very good job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I was waiting for somebody to compliment me. I'm here with Myrna Youngblood from Frontier Community College. She is the librarian, or the president there, in charge of the Learning Resource Center. Also, Charlene Carter has joined us. She's one of the book club members, along with Karen Bryant, another of the book club members. All right. So this book club starts this week, right?
It does, yes.
At what time?
At 11:40 to 12:30.
On what day?
On Wednesday.
Is it going to be Wednesday every time?
Yes, it will be Wednesday.
And this is why it's called the Brown Bag Book Club. It's because it's 11:40 to 12:30.
Exactly. Bring your lunch.
I see that this is that looks like 8 weeks. I thought you said it was four.
It's 4 weeks.
March 16th to May 11th?
Yeah. I'm sorry. It is 8 weeks. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, my bad.
No, that's okay. I didn't know. I guess my question was, how much time do you get to read the book? You're taking a couple of 3 weeks to read each book, then, instead of just a week.
Right. Yes.
What books do you have upcoming here for this next?
Well, we're going to start out with Someday Home, by a lady who, well, about a lady who's. She's in her home. Her family has moved out. Her husband has passed away, and the children are trying to tell her to sell it.
But, are these all fiction or nonfiction this time?
Like the other time, two fiction and one nonfiction.
Okay.
Yeah, this one is fiction.
So she's staying in her someday home. She's in her someday home, right?
Well, I'm not sure. I haven't completed the book yet.
Oh, okay.
But she is, rather than, her family wants her to get rid of the house and move to something smaller.
I see.
But she's thinking about inviting some other ladies to come and stay with her to share the responsibilities and the bills. That way she can stay in her home and also have some company.
Where do you get the, I asked earlier, how did you come across this book?
This particular book, the author, Laureline Snelling, was recommended by one of the book club members, said she was very good. And when I looked through the reviews, it was a newer book, and it was not a series. So I thought we would go with it.
Well, and also, I presume this one has good Kindle access. You have good,
right? Yes, we've got it downloaded on the Kindles, and we can also order, if somebody prefers the book, physical book, we can order that.
If someone is interested in joining the club, do they need to give you some advance notice so that you'll make sure you have enough Kindles or books handy, or how's that work?
Well, they could call the college and sign up for the class if they prefer, or they could show up that day. It would be nice to know ahead of time so that we make sure everybody has a book to take home with them.
When you said $7.50, and that's for the whole 8-week term,
that's,
I presume.
Yes, that's for the 8 weeks.
For senior citizens. How does one qualify as a senior citizen I'm serious. At what age does one count as a senior citizen at Frontier Community College? I have no idea, right?
If you are 60 or older, yes, you are a senior citizen.
Okay. What's any of the other books?
Next, we will be reading the nonfiction book, which is Unspeakable Journey, about a lady who went to the grocery store, and she was abducted and carried to another country. And we will learn what happens to her. I'm assuming she...
Really?
Was, yes. Mm-hmm.
More like, I'm glad it wasn't an unridable journey. Yeah. You see what I did there? You like it, don't you? Karen's smiling. I see it. Yeah.
That's good.
See, now she got it. It took her about 30 seconds. I am glad. You were telling me I saw the title, and I had the title in my head, and the joke popped into my head, and I thought, please don't be a book about kidnapping or something like that. And it was. We're all having fun, aren't we?
For sure.
All right, so you read the nonfiction in the center before you get back to the fiction, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this time we are. And then we're going to end up with Redeeming Love, which is by Francine Rivers. And it's about a girl. It's set in the California the gold mine time.
Gold rush back in the 50s, 1800s?
Yes. All right. And she was actually sold into prostitution as a child.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then it talks about her time at, and it's based on the Bible book of Hosea.
Oh, is How did this book come to your attention then? Through church or what?
Well, it was recommended by some club members who had read it already but were willing to read it again.
Oh,
it's
really?
Just such a,
that's cheating.
It's just a very good book.
Have you read it?
It's worth a second
read. You've read it? Okay. Well, how about you, Charlene? You looking forward to some of these or what?
Definitely.
Which one are you looking forward to mostly, you think?
Well, I've already started one of them, Someday Home.
Uh-huh.
I won't give you the spoiler alert on that. But
you're not going to tell me what it is?
No. I haven't read all of it yet, but it's interesting.
Oh,
I like
really?
It.
How long does it take you to read? I guess, do you aim for books that are like 200-400 pages, or do you have a limit there? I mean, you're not going to do Stephen King The Stand in an 8-week course.
No, because I don't do Stephen King for any time. Sorry.
Well, I'm just talking about a 1,000-page book.
Right. Yeah.
You're not doing a War and Peace.
Right. Right. The good news from the Bullpen Cafe was actually pretty lengthy, and we didn't realize that because we were reading it on a Kindle.
Yeah.
So it did take more time than we had anticipated.
What do you like? Yeah. What do you have a figure in your head that you number of hours to read a book for an average person whenever you assign or whenever your book club votes on them?
We've been reading about half of the book the first week and discussing it, and then the next week we'll read the second half.
I guess that's the other question. When you have an 8-week course and you've got three books over the course of the 8 weeks, what do you do if half the class is finished with the book and you're only going to discuss the first half of it?
We try to stick to, we're flexible. I want everybody to know this is not like a rigorous course or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
We are flexible. We're here to have fun, to open our minds up to additional reading that we're not used to. But in that case, we try to stick to the schedule just for the sake of those who have not finished it.
Sure.
You know.
What do you find as I was asking Charlene earlier about whether she prefers a Kindle to a paper book. I personally prefer the paper. I prefer having the paper in front of me. I don't mind turning the light on. But what do you find among your students and among the folks that you see nowadays at the Resource Center?
I've been very surprised that all of the, so far, the club members have preferred the Kindle.
Really?
Uh-huh. And we are, well.
What do you, go ahead, Karen.
On this last book that we did, I had things I needed to do, and I didn't have as much sitting time to read, so I checked the book out from the Fairfield Public Library with the OneDrive, and I did the audiobook.
Oh, really?
And then we took a trip, and so I was able to, not that I did have time sitting on the plane to read, but wherever I was, or if I was doing anything around the house, I could listen to the audio, so it was like multitasking.
So you're looking at about 10 hours or something like that, probably. Something.
Mm-hmm. So I did. It was the first time I did an audiobook, and
yeah, what'd
I really
you think?
You're
going to do it again?
I did like it. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, you know, you read those audio, you don't read them, I guess, but I've got a friend who that's how he consumes books, mm-hmm. is all, because he's driving a lot, it's
yeah,
only audio,
great.
And he will critique the reader, for crying out loud, as opposed to the book itself. He's gone far enough into it as the narrator, I guess. Mm-hmm.
That is one thing on this audio book. When you are reading a book, you hear it.
Yeah.
How you are reading it.
Right.
With
your own imagination.
Yes. Yeah. And so when I listened to the audiobook, it took me a while to get used to that reader's voice and the way that she would emphasize and act. I guess they're somewhat like acting.
Yeah.
The parts. And so that took me a while to get used to that. But
wow. So for it sounds like a lot of fun. The Brown Bag Book Club. Every Wednesday at 11:40 at Frontier Community College. Starting again this Wednesday.
This Wednesday,
the
yes.
The 16th. Mm-hmm. And if anybody has any questions, they need to do what?
They can call the library or call the college, 842-3711, and ask for me, Myrna Youngblood, or my extension is 4510. We're also going to be promoting this at our Senior Citizens Day that is this Friday.
You're going to try to do this next fall and
yes,
continue?
Yes, we hope to. As long as there's interest, we want to do this. Yes.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun and a nice way to get folks involved in reading, doesn't it?
Yes, it's worked good. I hope you'll join us.
I'd love to. I'd love to if I have to. We'll see what I can do. We'll see what I can do. Thank you very much for coming out. Charlene, do you hate me or do you want to throw something at me? Are you okay?
You're okay.
I appreciate that. Karen, thank you very much for coming out. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. We'll see if I can get out of here alive. Thanks for listening. Talk to y'all tomorrow.